All right. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 12 through 26. And as we've been discussing everything we've been discussing so far in talking about being the church, in thinking about, you know, last week we talked about, the last two Sundays, we talked about meeting needs and serving each other. We've talked about the importance of the gathering. We've talked about being under the Word together. We've talked about evangelism in the sense of it together. And so in thinking about all these things and thinking of the fact that God has brought us together, how much then would we understand of the idea of how much we need each other? And so I guess the question is, how much do we need each other, right? Can we go on in our Christian walk and lives apart from the church? And can the church go on with no problems without us and our input and what God has designed us for? Do we need each other within the church? And the answer is yes. yes, we do. And so in thinking of that, that we need each other, where does the church fall in our priorities in being part of one another in the church? And again, how do we do the things that God has called us to do in the church without one another? And also, too, in thinking that we need each other, how much do we view and understand that our being together with one another, with this specific group of people, is by no accident, right? That God has placed us together by His sovereignty, that He has purpose in His plan and reasons that this is the makeup of North Valley Baptist Church, right? That He has His purposes in putting us together because He has His purposes for us as a church and as individuals within His church, right? And what He has called us to. And, you know, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, but it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, the works, you know, Charles Spurgeon said, looking to this passage, that, you know, clearly then we're not saved by works, but we're saved for works, right? And that God has predetermined what those works for us are to be. And if those works, too, as we discuss, are part of within the body of Christ and working together, I mean, that would also reason then that He's predetermined us working together on those works and what He has determined to be for us to do. And so all of this, we have to trust God for that. We have to trust God for how He has equipped us together, to be working together, the spiritual gifts He's given us, and all are how He has wired each of us how we are placed here together with one another, and even in how we each still need to grow, where each of us are in our walk with Christ and our growth and our maturity. All of that is kind of working all together for His purposes and how we function with one another and how we grow together and how we serve together. All of that is part of it. And so in thinking on this, thinking, okay, how much does all of this mean that we need each other and need to be working together, and how important it is that we are together and working together, that each one is doing their part, right? Because that's what we read last time when we looked at Ephesians 4, right? That verse 16 says, "When each part is working properly," or be translated, "when each one does their part, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love," right? Each one doing their part. Each one has a role to do, and we all need to be working together, and in that we need each other, right? And so I just want us to be thinking more on this thought of needing each other. And so the priority that we give the church together and the priority of serving with one another. And so how important is that to us, and how much are we striving for that and realizing that need? And so that's why I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. So before we get into any comments or questions on that, with where we're heading here? No, okay. So then let's look here at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where Paul is talking about the church as the body of Christ, and each one having their gift and the abilities that they have and working together and functioning together as a body. And so he says here, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. In those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." All right, so we see the illustration in this of the body of Christ, right? That we are a body together. And what that's illustrating of how we function together. That there are many members, right? Many parts that do many different things, and yet we're all united together as one body. And we have all these parts and have all these functions for the health of the body. Just as our bodies have many parts, there's a head, there's arms, there's legs, there's a nose, there's ears, there's inner organs, there's all of these parts, external and internal, visible and things that aren't visible from the outside. Just as in the body of Christ, there are those who work behind the scenes and do other parts, and yet there are those who are more upfront and visible in the functioning of the body. Each one functions differently. Whether walking, talking, hearing, the heart beating and breathing. And yet it is all united together in one body. All working together as one body. I think as studying through 1 Corinthians, as we have not too long ago, we see that the Corinthians didn't seem to be really appreciating diversity among themselves, right? There's a sense in which they all wanted to look the same, specifically when it came to the gift of tongues, right? Or those gifts that they thought were more spiritual and you know, gave more attention to. And they were the things that they all wanted to do. But Paul is saying, no, there's diversity in the body for a reason. And with diversity, yet there is unity. And so Paul says, "So it is with Christ that the body of Christ is many members and yet one." And he says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body." And what's Paul referring to there when he talks about with one spirit we're all baptized into one body? Is this referring to our water baptism? We made a public profession of faith and identifying ourselves with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Is that what he's referring to here? No, what is this? Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off. I apologize. Yes, right. The spiritual baptism at the moment that we're saved, that we are baptized, we are brought into the body of Christ. We are a member of Christ's body at that moment. So that's what's in reference here. And this is all true for everyone. Everyone who puts their trust in Christ, despite anything about them, despite, you know, they're in the early church, especially as it had to be emphasized and explained, despite whether they're Jewish or Gentile, despite one's social status, if you are in Christ, you have been baptized into His Spirit, you've been baptized into His body by the Spirit, and so you are part of the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And this, again, is despite anything about yourself. Despite even what your gifts are. That's, you know, if you don't have one of the more showy gifts, or maybe there's a gift that you wish you did have for whatever reason, for some reason that's attractive to you, even if you don't have that gift or don't have those opportunities within the body where you're at, that does not mean you're not part of the body. Despite anything about you, if you are trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. You have responsibility and a function within the body of Christ, that we all work together as members of one another. And so it's important that we understand that and see what Paul's saying here. So if the church is a body, speaking of the universal church, all believers in Christ, and by extension of that, then the local church, and there's diverseness within our body, yet there's unity. We have to think through then what the implications of all of this is then. And so look again at verses 14 and 15. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." What Paul shows is that the diversity within the body is necessary. The different parts that are there are needed. There might be one reason or another because, well, there's someone who works behind the scenes, so maybe we don't really know everything that they do. Well, that might be our fault. We should find out everything that they do if we're not sure. And so just because someone's not up front, that they're behind the scenes working, we should not think, oh, we don't really need them. I don't really know what they do. What do they do anyway? Why do we need them? Well, you should find out. We do need every part and everyone functioning in what they do. Every part is needed. And some might think, again, there might be certain gifts or certain opportunities that you don't have. And so maybe because you're not functioning in the body the way you would want to, that doesn't mean that you're not part of the body. Or if there are more roles that we think are more important for whatever reason. Well, if that's a more important role, obviously that's a role I want, right? But we have to think through that. And just because I don't have that doesn't mean I'm not part of the body. So we need to think, what is the way, why have we been put together? What builds up the body? And we talked about last time building up the body in love. And each of our function is not serving ourselves, that this is what I want to do, right? This is how I see myself functioning. But really, we need to be thinking through what is serving to the whole body. What does the body need? And how I'm functioning is not about me. It's about the entire body and the health and the growth of the entire body. Not just about myself and the different reasons why I might think that I should have that gift or I should have that role and that function and be doing different things. What is for the good of the whole body? And again, it doesn't make me not part of the body. God has a role and a responsibility for each one that He has placed together for His purposes. And so each one must be willing to fulfill the role that they have, even if it's not necessarily the role that they want. And there, again, could be a variety of reasons why that is the case. And as you continue here, Paul continues with the same idea. There's the silly analogy that he personifies actual body parts as we keep going here in verses 16 through 20. It may seem like a silly analogy to us, but it makes the point pretty clear, I think. I mean, just think of your own body and how you consist of all these organs and all these parts. Where would your body be, really, if your whole body was just an eye? You might see pretty well, right? but what would that do for your body? How would you get around? I mean, I guess you could roll around, right, if you're an eye. But then you'd probably end up getting something stuck in you, and that would hurt. And then you wouldn't be able to see really well. And how would you get that out? You don't have arms or hands or fingers, right? You can't get anything that gets stuck in there out, right? Your body's not going to function the way it is if you only have one member, one body part. The body can't function just as an eye. And it would also be a pretty ugly body, too, to be frank, if that's all that the body was. No, it needs all the other members as well. And again, just as the church needs all other members. Everyone can't be doing just the same thing. Everyone can't just be in the same roles and just as visible as all the other ones, because even those behind the scenes, those invisible roles, are just as important, just as valuable, just as needed as every other role. And so, again, if your body was just an eye, where would you be without your hands, your feet, your ears, your nose, and everything else? How would the blood flow if you didn't have a heart? And so, again, all of this should show how much we need each other. If we recognize each one functions the way that God has designed for them to function, and God has placed us all together according to His sovereign will, He has placed us together for a reason, that we need each other, and how He has designed for us to function together. And so we should recognize how much we need each other, and how important it is that we are together with one another and functioning together. So we can't all be doing the same function. And again, going back to last week, or not last week, a few weeks ago we talked about it, being part of the church and functioning together, that we have our place within the church, and we're part of the church together, and we have our function within the church, because all of us have worked hard to earn that place and function in the church, right? Because we all deserve it. Again, eyes and head shaking slightly. No, right? It's not because we deserve it. Being part of the church is by nothing more than God's grace. Being able to function within the church and function however we are functioning, it's only by God's grace. I don't deserve to be here. The person who's up front for all to see and the person who's working behind the scenes, neither one deserves those positions. They only have them by grace. Again, what is the thing that we do deserve? Yeah. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. But God has been so kind and so gracious that He would save us, that He'd make us His own, that He'd give us eternity with Him. All of this by grace. And He just keeps giving grace, right? That He has made us a body together by His grace. He has given us one another by His grace. We function together by His grace. We are used by Him for His purposes by His grace. It's all kindness. It's all because He's so great and amazing and awesome, God, to do that, give us such privileges that we don't deserve. And so do we recognize that as privileges? That whatever our gifts are, I have this gift because God has been so kind to give it to me. That He would use me however He has determined for His glory. They would use me for the greatest purpose that there is in this world, to bring Him glory, to point to Himself. And so if we make the function of the body about ourselves, we've missed the point. We miss the mark. It's all about Him and why He's placed us here for His purposes. How do we function together? And in recognizing that, understanding we need each other. He has put us together to function with one another how He has designed us to be, by His sovereignty. Verse 18 says, "But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." So we need to function as God has gifted us, as God has placed us together, as God has given us opportunity where we're at. You know, sometimes we may have been in one place. Sometimes we move from one church to another for reasons, and God moves his people around for reasons sometimes. Sometimes people move around for not good reasons, but sometimes there are good reasons to leave one place you were and come to another. And God's sovereign over all of that. And maybe you were in one place and you were able to function in one way and you were functioning according to your gifts. But maybe for one reason or another, maybe you've come here and now there's not the same opportunities there were in your last church. Maybe because we're smaller and we don't have the functionality and the ability in from your last church. Or maybe because there's already so many people filling a certain role that there are other roles needed. Maybe, there's a slew of reasons why that could be the case. But again, recognizing God by his sovereignty has put us together with one another. Now, that doesn't mean, too, though, if you're saying, you know what, there could be improvement on something. And that if you're saying, listen, I know according to my gifts and how I function, I can help in that area. By all means, step up. Talk with me. Talk with your deacon. And let's talk it through and see, okay, because we know we need improvement, right? We are a perfect church, right? There's nothing about us where we need to grow yet. Nothing. We have reached. No. We all have room to grow, each one of us, and that together as a church have room to grow. And there may be areas where we're weaker than others. Listen, if you can step up and help in those areas that we're weaker, by all means, we want that. And let's talk about what that looks like and how to do that. I think that's part of why God brings us together. Because he provides for the church, I think in all of this we see, he provides for the church through the members of the church. That's why, again, we have our specific functions and why we're together. And so none of us can say to anyone else, I don't need you. Because that's wrong. That'd be like my hand saying to my foot, I don't need you. Well, the hand's not going to function if the foot can't get me from here to there very well and to do the things that the hand needs to do, right? We need each other. And we have to recognize that in everything. Look at verses, again, let me read the last few verses here again. Verses 21 to 26. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Thomas Constable, he said this. He said, it is interesting that Paul uses the head and the feet as examples. The top of the body and the bottom. He was probably reminding those who felt superior that those whom they regarded as inferior were also necessary for the body to function. Too often, because we differ from each other, we also differ with each other. And I think that's a good point to make and think about. Sometimes because of our giftedness, we think a certain thing is just so important because that's our specific drive and our specific, we're wired towards something sometimes. But we have to recognize that, again, each part is vital and important. And we want to make sure that that's understood and seen. Again, as it's clear that not each one functions the same together, but yet we still need one another. Remembering again, too, God has arranged the members in the body. This is what he has done by his sovereignty, by the grace that he has given all of us. So, none of us should think that we can get by without the other if God has placed us here together by his sovereignty with one another. And none of us should think that we can get by without the other. That in all of this, it's clear we need each other. Harold Mayer said this. He said, "The least attractive and inconspicuous parts of the body are more important and should be treated with respect. So also the inconspicuous parts of the body members of the church are essential. Those who pray, those who work with their hands and bringing their meager tithes into the church, etc. As the humbler parts of the body are given special attention by covering them with appropriate clothing, and as in the case of the church, the poor, the despised, the less prominent are to be cherished and nurtured." And so I think we should go to great lengths to honor those whose performance are often less noticed, rather than having a negative attitude. I don't see that person very often, so I don't know what they do. No, but we should honor those people and make sure we know that they are vital and important to what happens here. They're immensely important. I mean, I can give an example. I didn't say tell her ahead of time I was going to do this, so I apologize. It's a little embarrassed, but still, I think it's important. I mean, we have the sound. I mean, how we never hear any clipping like during the service, right? And with the sound equipment or feedback or anything else. And then I think of Jeanette back there even right now, making all of the sound possible at the moment. Whether it's the sound going through the live streaming for the website and the internet, and or whether, too, just for us to be able to hear the music and the balance that there is between the singers and the instruments, and that, you know, me teaching or preaching or whoever it is, that their voice comes through so each of us can hear and not be distracted by other things with that could happen when it comes to all the sound and all the plugs and everything else that goes into making all of that sound. She works hard, but she works back in that room where no one sees her. But how important is her job and what she does? It's vital. And we may say, okay, but how is she functioning with her gifts? I mean, is the knobs and making sure everything is balanced, that's not a spiritual gift, right? Well, no. Those things themselves aren't spiritual gifts. But, I mean, that takes a heart of service and the work that it does to bring all of that together. And so I think it shows a spiritual gift of service, of having that servant's heart, to make sure that works and do it without being seen. She's vital to all of this. And I think that's a good example of what this is talking about here and the importance that we lay on each other, even those who work behind the scenes to make it all function as it needs to and make it all come together. I don't know if she would say her spiritual gift is service. I think it would in everything that I've seen of her in serving. And she uses that gift in serving in that way. And making sure everything goes without having feedback and clipping and all the things that can go into the sound that would be a distraction to our worship and our service. And so I think she's a good example of that in saying, okay, listen, look at the honor. Look how important she is. We should honor her who works so hard behind the scenes. And that's how we should be thinking about each other and one another and the how important we are to one another in the functioning of the body together, that we would be building each other up in love as each one does their part. So again, we're not here by accident, right? Each of us are here according to God's sovereignty. God arranges the body by his sovereign plan and his purposes in each one and how he has ordered his body. And so that should, again, then make us think and understand the importance that there is for one another and how it is that God has placed me here for his purpose, how he has placed you here for his purposes, for you to function within this body and in this body growing, in where we're at and what is needed and how he is using you and using each one together to provide the needs that the church has. And so this is an important part of what it means to be a member of the church. Important part of our commitment to one another. That our commitment to one another is not just coming here on a Sunday morning and sitting through the service for an hour or more, however long the service is, and then getting up and leaving. But our commitment to one another is working together. taking what we've learned in the service, taking what we've learned sitting under the Word and holding each other accountable and praying for each other and building relationships with each other and functioning together in our service with one another. That's part of the commitment that we're making when we say we're going to be a member of the church. Right? We talk about that in the membership class. That there's a commitment to each other, recognizing we need one another. I need you, and you need me. And you need Jim in the back, and Charlie in the back there, and Rob up front. And you know, we need each other. We need one another. And so we should recognize it as such. And therefore, function together and say, okay, what's my part? What role do I play in this? Where does the church have need that I can meet that need and supply that need because God has placed me here to meet the need of the church? And we recognize that, the vitality in one another, and not say, I don't need you. So, any further thoughts or comments on that? All right, if not, then we will close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for our time together. And Lord, I just pray that you would be glorifying yourself in us, helping us to grow. And Lord, that we would recognize each of us still need to grow. Each of us have not made it yet. And so together as a body, we still need to grow. We have not conformed completely to Christ's likeness. And Lord, we know we won't until we see Christ face to face. And so we do long for that day, and I pray that even in this, we're living in light of that day. When we will be presented before you as pure and holy, washed in the Word, that Christ will present us his bride in that way because of his work and what he has done by his grace. And so, Father, we're grateful for this truth. We're grateful that we need each other. And Lord, that it's not our natural common interests that bring us together, that you know, that people who are in the same stage of life and have the same interests and the same hobbies and all the same kind of things that bring us together. But Lord, we're grateful that it's the gospel that brings us together. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes us one together. And that, Father, that I pray that we would seek to build on that truth and be committed to one another in our unity in Jesus Christ and functioning together as the body of Christ. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone, too, who's wondering, okay, how do I fit in? How do I function in this specific place here at North Valley? What's the role that you've called me to? I pray, Father, that they would be praying through that you're, through your word and truth, that you would be giving them guidance and that the church, too, would also come around them and help them to grow and figure that out as well. And so I just thank you, Lord, for our time together, and teach us and grow us according to your plan and your will for your glory. I thank you. Amen.